What is autism and what do we know about it?
Sure. Well, first of all, any child that receives a diagnosis of autism would have what we call the triad of impairment. And these are three specific characteristics or delays. And essentially what they are is, first of all, is a delay in social interaction. So an example of this might be eye contact.
Okay.
And as the child grows older, reading social situations and forming friendships.
So just to cut across you, Geraldine, sorry, we're talking about very young children now, preschool children, aren't we?
Well, I mean, autism affects across the lifespan, but I suppose what I'm trying to describe is, as a child is diagnosed, you know, what the impairments are. So then the second impairment would be obviously the major impairment, which is, of course, the language impairment. So a child may be delayed in forming language, or the child may not be forming language at all.
Okay.
And then the third part of the triad would be an insistence of sameness, repetitive behaviours, insisting on the same routine. So once those three deficits or areas are in place, then a child is on the spectrum of autism.
Okay.
I suppose as well, what's important to say as well, that, you know, this then is accompanied by behaviour problems.
Mm-hmm.
A child might have an intellectual disability, or another child may not have an intellectual disability. And also, I suppose, the diagnosis might be accompanied with other diagnoses, such as ADHD or epilepsy. And so it's quite complex. And I suppose the most important thing to bear in mind is that it's a spectrum.
Yes, and I mean, from what you're saying, it's obviously clear that autism in one child or whatever goes with it is not the same as autism in another child.
Exactly, and I thought that's therein lies the challenge. There's huge variations because each of the elements are on a spectrum from mild to severe, high and low. So one child may be very verbal but may have difficulties in social interaction, where another child may not be verbal, may have an intellectual disability and have more problems. So it's quite a spectrum, everything on the range of from mild to severe.
And I see in a note you sent me that up to 1 in 70 boys have it.
Mm.
Girls a little bit, it's 1 in 100
yeah.
and something for girls.
Yeah.
So 1 in 70, that's quite high.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, the incidence has risen significantly over the past 10 years. So the latest figures from the Centre for Disease Control in the US are 1 in 100 live births.
Okay.
So it is quite a significant issue.
Now, if we just talk a little bit about the science of it, then, you know, what does science understand autism is, or what leads to autism?
Sure. Well, our understanding of autism, the condition, is that it's a neurodevelopmental disorder that affects the development of the brain in the area of social interaction and communication.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain is developing atypically in those areas, and then the symptoms manifest behaviourally. So the first signs of autism that I just described would typically appear before the age of 3.
Mm.
So at that stage, then mom and dad are noticing, okay, my child is not developing, you know, as he or she should be, and they're not really hitting what we call the developmental milestones.
Right. Okay. So yeah, that might just raise a red flag to check. And if that actually is going on, or they suspect maybe there's something happening as regards autism, what should they do?
Well, immediately, I mean, contact their GP.
Yeah.
And then their GP sends them for a referral. They should receive a full assessment within 6 months. And now all children under the age of 5 who receive a referral will receive a full diagnosis within 6 months. So I think, you know, in terms of diagnosis, things have really improved.
Okay. And I suppose the question parents might be asking themselves if they're listening and, you know, their child is affected is, with the right intervention, what kind of difference can be made to the child's life?
Well, significant. I mean, all children will make significant gains. Some obviously will make more gains than others because, again, it's so individual and every child is different, has a different profile. But what is indisputable is that children that receive early intensive intervention will do a lot better than children who don't.
Okay. Now, you do, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it I think you have children with on the autism spectrum that would go to a regular school, as you would call it, and then there's kids that would go to a specialist school. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how does that work then? You know, what? Why in one place and why in the other place? Like, how is that a specialist call that they just decide what's best?
Yeah, that would be, I think, the call of, you know, of the Department of Ed. In that, I suppose a child that would be in a mainstream, well, then that child would need to have, I suppose, the skills to learn in the mainstream classroom. So they ideally would have an SNA.
Yeah.
Who would, you know, help them, you know, and in terms of learning, give them that extra support, really, in the classroom. So the child then that's not in a mainstream classroom, it obviously would not be able to function in that environment with the same support, because again, you know, they may have more complex issues.
Okay. Now that brings us along to Ireland, I suppose, and the situation. I remember about 15 years ago, I wrote an article on this, and things were really bad then. A friend of mine had a child with autism, and there was very little available. So looking at the country as a whole, how's it improved since then?
I mean, it has improved. There's no doubt about that. But as always, it is an issue of services. You know, sometimes there's a wait, and there's a lack of access. For example, I met a parent recently who had a child diagnosed. I think the child was just over two, but that parent is going to have to wait 6 months to access services.
Yeah, and you say early intervention. Obviously, that 6 months then is wasted because you want to get in early. And
yes, yes. So, I mean, we really should be putting resources into the early intervention, because the research shows that when children get the early intervention as opposed to not getting it, they will do so much better. So we're saving in the long term.
Yeah.
You know, so a child that doesn't receive it may need, you know, lifelong support. So we, you know, it makes economic sense as well as scientific sense, you know, to put the resources in at that stage. And now I think Canada, for example, has an excellent model.
Mm-hmm.
Their model is that once the child receives diagnosis, they get automatic access to early intensive behavioural intervention.
And where is that? Is that in a school or whatever they need, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, it could be school-based, it could be home-based, but they are guaranteed, the intensive intervention. But then they then transition back to mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But it's concentrated, the intervention, in those years, those specific years.
Okay, and is Canada the gold standard then of what we should be trying to follow? I mean, say teachers, for example, primary school teachers, do they need training in this area?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. We all need practitioners. You know, need training. Exactly. That's what we're doing in Galway, where we've got a master's program. And a PhD program, and we would have several teachers from year to year accessing our programs.
Okay.
I think all services need supports and need expertise.
Right, so you're going to have, say, teachers or the teachers of the future that are interested in this area, then they might go for extra training to your centre in Galway, is that it?
Well, that would be ideal. I think that would be the ideal scenario. But we have, you know, students who are just coming out with psychology degrees any degree, really. And we teach our students at the master's level to become skilled practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not just, you know, necessarily a teacher, but, you know, any individual, any student who's interested in working in the area of autism.
Okay. Now, I see there is a school in Galway. You mentioned in a note I got from you, Albalta. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Albalta.
Albalta. Sorry, excuse my Irish. Albalta. And so there's a link there in this applied behaviour analysis area. So obviously the school is linked with the university, or will be now. But say for other parts of the country that aren't as well served, how will you link in with them?
Well, yeah, in Albalta, I suppose we have a link with Albalta in that our students are in placement in Albalta schools. So, I mean, that's quite a good model. So our students are in training and they're in Albalta schools, so they get to practice what they learn in the classroom In our classroom, in the real life classroom, mm-hmm. Monday to Thursday, because they're with us on a Friday. That would be also one of the goals of our new centre, that our expertise through our students could feed into the community.
Yeah.
And that's working wonderfully in Albert and Galway for us.
So ideally you would have lots of schools like Albert in different parts of Ireland and you'd be linked with them.
Yeah, that would be you know, quite a good model. And not just, you know, mainstream schools, but all the different services.
Okay.
You know, we have some of our students, you know, are working in adult services.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose it's getting the expertise out there, you know, through our students.
Okay, I just have two questions then, I suppose, to finish with. I suppose, first of all, you mentioned that the autism is on the rise. Do you have any idea why it's on the rise and what causes autism in the first place?
I would think that the autism, I mean, I think our diagnostics have improved.
Yeah.
And access to our diagnostic services have also improved.
Like, for example, is it because there's more boys, for example, does that suggest maybe there's a genetic element
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there is a known genetic link.
Right, there's a genetic link.
Yeah, and there certainly is.
Is there any, the other thing then in science, the environment, is there any suggestion of anything?
No.
So it's
not
genetic?
Yeah, absolutely. So if in a family, for example, if there's one child with autism, there is a higher chance there might maybe another, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's certainly a genetic link.
Sure. And just on your research then, obviously that's very important.
Yes.
So what kind of areas are you going to look at?
Well, the research centre is made up of myself and my two colleagues, Olive Healy and Jennifer Holloway. And our students and ourselves, we conduct a wide range of research, but specifically in the area of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Treating the behaviours that need to be reduced, increasing behaviours that need to be put in place, such as language. And we also do some basic research on understanding the condition of autism.
Okay. Now, are you, say there are parents listening to this who would like to get in touch with you, do you have an email maybe or something where they could reach you at?
Absolutely. I'm geraldine.leader@nuigalway.ie. Because that also, I mean, parents, I mean, the three kernels of the new research centre are research, teaching and service to the community. So as our centre develops, we certainly would be looking to provide some service to parents, because we find that in the home they can really do with some help.
Sure, yeah. It's a burden, obviously.
Terms of, you know, behaviours and so on, and management of behaviours. And so we will be looking at parent training, outreach services, you know, as we grow.
That sounds excellent. And just give us the email again, in case people miss it.
Geraldine.leader.
LEADER, isn't it?
That's correct.
At
nuigalway.ie.
Okay, well, congratulations on the centre, and I hope it goes well for you, and we might check in with you again, Geraldine.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.